Let's start off with a word of prayer, buddy. We need it this morning, that's for sure. So, Lord, I thank and praise you for the day now that you've given to us, for the beauty of it. I thank you for being the awesome God that you are, how you've taken care of us. You met our needs. You brought us here safely, Father, and we just thank and praise you for that. We thank and praise you for the seasons here now that you're changing things around once again. And Lord, you know and rule the weather, and we know that you know what's best for us, and we thank you, Father, for that. We ask now, Lord, that you would be with us this day. We ask your Holy Spirit would just teach us the things you want us to teach here today in your word and from your word. And we ask that your Spirit would just enlighten us as we do go through it. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit, how he does teach us the things that here that's in your word, and we praise you for that. We ask that we could be more like you. We ask you to be at the service to follow, that the message you laid upon the pastor's heart, Lord, that he would just bring it forth there, Father, and that your Spirit would just take full control once again there, Father, also. We hold that before you and ask for your help. We ask now, Lord, that you would just be with us and guide and direct us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 27. We started off here and started. We're still with Rachel here, and we're trying to show you some things that, or Rebecca. I'm sorry, Rebecca. Rachel's the next one. Rebecca here is. She's taking advantage of her husband right at this particular time. In the first part of 27, there you see that. Let me just read verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here am I." He can't see at this particular time. So she's taking advantage of him with his eyes being, as it says there, dim, and it says that he could not see. So, and then the next thing there here that he tells Esau, he says, and this is his favorite son now. There's favoritism showed here with both of them. But anyhow, and he said, "Behold, I am old. I know not the day of my death." And he didn't know the day of his death. He thought that just because he was getting old here and he couldn't see and things like that, evidently that he was going to die. But like I told you before, what I studied out here and what I could find, I think he lived 45 years after this. So, you know, it wasn't some overnight thing or something like that, it was just going to happen. But he wants to give him his blessing, the firstborn's blessing here is what he's after. And Rebecca knew this. But anyhow, he said, "Now therefore I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, go out into the field and take me some venison and make me savior meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." So he's going here after his, she's going here after his, not only his eyes, but his food also. He loves this. One way that that it's prepared, and she knows about it. Well, and it says here, "And Rebecca heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it." So she's around someplace. She's hearing this. She knows what's going on, and so she is definitely going to take this into her own hands. Now, I don't know why, you know, she knew, if you remember that we read, that God told her that the elder would serve the younger was going to be ahead of it. Let me just put it that way. But anyhow, the younger was going to be the head of their household and stuff like that. And you already know that he sold his birthright. Esau sold his birthright for food. He thought he was going to die. Well, he wasn't going to die. But anyhow, he thought he was going to die. He had to have food, so he could care less about his birthright. He lost it. But now, why Rebecca just didn't let God take care of this, unless this was God's plan, but I can't see that it was, because it looks to me like she's taking it into her own hands with everything that's happening and taking place. Now, here's where we left off last week, and I'm going to pick it up. Verse 6 here says, "And Rebecca spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savior meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So now here she picks her son, you know, and she's telling him this is what his dad's up to. But she's taking things into her own hands here, and she's going against her husband. She's going against the head of the household, and she's going against her husband, and she decides that she's going to do something different here. So now, she says to him to obey her voice. And, I mean, there's nothing the matter with teaching your children to obey you, you know, to obey what you tell them and things like that. And so, I mean, and he does. There's no doubt about it. He does. But you'll see here what happens and takes place here. It says, go now to the flock and fetch me two good kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Now, these here were young goats that she had that he was supposed to go get. I mean, they were probably real young when they're kids like that. They're not very big at all. And the meat on them would be soft and tender and things like that. And so she's going to make meat just the way that he likes it. She knows him. Ladies, you know your husbands. You know what the things are that he likes to eat. Okay? And when you make that good meal for him, you know you're satisfying him. You're making him, you know, you're making him happy and all that. Now, ladies, I hope you don't do like my wife does. She substitutes. She likes to substitute. If it calls for vanilla, she'll get into the cupboard and she don't have any. Now, wouldn't it be smart to look at the recipe, first of all, to see, make sure you have everything. But if you don't have it...
Join a bigger shovel.
Yes. It's being recorded right now for her. But anyhow, if she looks in the cupboard and she sees that there's no vanilla there, if it calls for vanilla or something like that, she says, aha, last week he made me mad. Rat poisoning. I'm going to put that in her. I'm substituting it, you know. She substitutes, you know. Don't substitute, ladies, you know. You know how he likes that. You know the taste of it, you know. And if you substitute something for it, I mean, if Rebecca here would have substituted, Isaac would have known. There's definitely, you know, two ways about it. Because you're going to see here some things that he picks out as we're going down through here, that he picks out, that he knows, he's telling him that something isn't right, but yet, you know, he does accept it. But, you know, don't do them kind of things, ladies. Don't substitute, you know. Don't let my wife rub off on tea or anything like that. But I don't know, Mrs. Connor, if I want to. But go ahead. Go ahead, Mrs. Connor.
Substitutions make it better.
You know, there's where I would agree with you sometimes. And it is just sometimes, you know. There is some times where she does put something in there. She won't tell me till after I ate it. And then she said, you know, I substituted. I said, okay, you know, it wasn't too bad, you know. But there is times where she puts something in there, that's something that I like, and she, you know. I don't know, how can you ever mess up spaghetti? But sometimes she substitutes stuff. Yes, you get your different things, but anyhow, you have a bigger shovel, Pastor? Yeah, and I seen her turn around and talk to you about it. So. Okay, but anyhow. Well, you know, I did take rat poisoning as far as that goes for my blood clots, because that's what all that is anyhow, is rat poisoning, so, you know. But, so here we see that she's going to make just the way that he likes it, and she's going to do it to the T, I'll guarantee you that, because he would pick it out, I know that there. So, she tells him to go to the flock and get, so she can make the savior meat. And she says in verse 10, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Now that's what Esau's name meant. And when he was born, it said that he came out red and hairy. And he's a hairy man, but he says, you know, I'm a smooth man. You know, he's trying to get out of this because he sees that this is wrong. But he says, my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So you see here what she's teaching her son, to be a deceiver. Evidently, she was a deceiver. And if you can remember any accounts that you read about her brother Laban, Laban was a deceiver. So there's something that must have ran in this family where along the line, mother or dad of those two evidently were deceivers. And you'll see that she teaches him something else here. But she did teach him to be a deceiver. Genesis chapter 30. Jacob becomes a wealthy man because he's a deceiver. It says in chapter 30, verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Well, first of all, I want to show you that. That's what I wanted to show you too. I wanted to show you that Laban was a deceiver. Let me find this here. Laban was a deceiver. This is chapter 29 and verse 18. It says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better to give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. So he's going to serve him for 7 years for Rachel. He's going to work for him. And it says these 7 years went by that fast that it just seemed like a few days to him. Well, anyhow, it says, and Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me. You see what he did? He was a deceiver. And Rebecca is a deceiver. And she taught Jacob to be a deceiver. Jacob here in chapter 30 and starting out there in 25, and you'll see here how he deceived Laban. It says, and it came to pass when Rachel was born, Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may give unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, tarry for me, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Thinking about himself, wasn't he? That's all he was thinking about, himself. And so he's thinking about himself about this. And it says, and he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and now it has increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now shall I provide for my own house also. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything if thou wilt do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come for my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And so he does this, okay? Now he's removing everything that has some kind of spots or something like that on it, you know, and he's taking that from Laban, and Laban's supposed to have all the good stuff. Now, here's what happens. And he removed that day the he-goats that were wren-streckled and spotted, and all the goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree and piled them, streaks in them, and made them white appear, which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters in the water troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-strecked, speckled, and spotted. So all the animals that he was taking care of here, he found out that he could take this green poplar, these rods, and this hazel of the chestnut trees, and he could take it, and it looked like, it says he piled it, looks, what I take it, he kind of cut grooves in it. Wasn't that what you think, so, Corp? That's what it sounds like to me. But he cut grooves in it, and there was something about it that whenever that they would conceive, they didn't turn out to be the most popular animals at that particular time. And so he deceived Laban, and his flocks increased. If you read on here, I don't want to take the time to do it, but you read on here, you see that his flocks increased and Laban's flocks decreased. And Laban's sons told him about this. And so then it started, you know, some hassle between the families there. And Jacob told him, he said, you know, I just did what you wanted me to do. Well, he learned that. He learned that from Laban, and I think he learned it from his mother, you know, to be a deceiver. Because he says here back in Genesis 27, in verse 12 there, my father preadventure will feed me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now, verse 13, and his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. Now he obeyed. He's obeying his mother. And he said, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Now, here's her plan, you know, for the deceiving part also. And she took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with him in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Why did she do that, you hunters? You guys that hunt, why did she do that? You guys that don't hunt, why did she do that? There's a scent smell. Now, you guys that hunt, you know, you ladies, you wonder why they hang their clothes outside all the time. Well, they don't want that smell of the house or anything, you know, that goes on in there. They want the smell of the outside because a deer has a nose. And they can pick it. Just, they got sharp eyes and a sharp nose. And they can pick up scents. They can pick up terrific scents. And they can smell, you know. And so she knew somebody here was going to be smelling. All right? She knew this. And so that's why she did this, because she knew that Jacob was with her in the house all the time. He was a cook and all that kind of stuff. But Esau was out in the fields all the time, and he had that smell of the outside, and Jacob had the smell of the inside. So that's why she did that. And verse 16, and she put skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Now, can you imagine? He took these kids, these goats, he killed them. He skinned them out. He got the meat ready for his mother. She cooked it and stuff. But she decides to take these skins. Now, I don't know if she took J.B. Weld or what she did to put them on his neck and on his arms. But she got it to stick somehow, you know, that it was there. So that if Isaac felt this, you know, it made him feel like a hairy man. So, but she did do this, you know. She did this and put it, like it said, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. What is he? Pastor, would you go to Proverbs 12 and read 19 and 22? He is a liar, and that is the truth. Where did he learn it from? Do you see why, young people, that you that are raising kids, that I say that what you are, your kids are going to be? I'm just showing you here a little bit. That this is just a little bit what we're going to talk about later on when we get into the kids. But, I mean, right there it is. It's in black and white. Pastor, read those verses, please.
19 and 22?
Yes, 19 and 22.
The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And verse 22 of Proverbs 12, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight.
So he says, somebody that's a liar, you know, you're not going to get no place. I mean, she has taught him to be a deceiver here and a liar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch yourself when you're what you're teaching your children. If someone calls on the phone for mom or dad, don't tell your children to tell them that you're not home. What are you teaching them? A little white lie. You tell a little white lie and soon you're going to be colorblind. And you will be. You know, you don't teach them to lie. My wife was just explaining to me this morning coming up here about a family that the girl, the daughter, went to her dad and said, you know, I want a belly ring. And you know what Dad said? No way. No way. Well, she had some different boyfriends, you know, and stuff. And, you know, all the girls have belly rings and stuff like that today in these here schools. And she wanted one. And Mother finally gave in and Mother took her and got her a belly ring. And she says to her and to her sister, don't you tell your dad. What did she teach her? She's teaching her to be a liar. And this happens in a lot of families. In Christian families. You know, don't tell your dad. You know, don't tell him. You know. So, you know, be careful. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you teach. You know. Here she taught. She taught Jacob to be a deceiver, and she taught him to be a liar. He says, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, another lie, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. So, you see how Rebekah is taking advantage of the things here of Isaac being blind and also this food that he's going to eat and what's going on and taking place. And in verse 21 here, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. See, she knew. She knew what would happen. She knew what would take place. And she knew what was going to go on here. And she does this. And it says, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Another lie. And he said, bring it to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may be blessed with thee. Now wait a second, I skipped a verse here. Right there, verse 22. And Jacob went near Esau, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He knew Jacob's voice. That was something that he couldn't take away. You know, each one of your children, you know that, have different voices. And I don't know how a mother can tell the cry of one from the other. I don't know how they do that, but they do that. When I hear one bawling, I, you know, Didn't matter to me which one it was. You know, one of them was bawling. But she would know which one it was that was bawling or carrying on, you know. It's just an instinct that God put in the woman that she knows that. Maybe some of you guys can pick it out, but that was something that I couldn't pick out anyhow. But I did know their voices. Each one of their voices are a little different, you know, of my kids. And I'm sure you have the same thing there in your family. You know the voices of your children, you know. Verse 25, and he said, bring it near me, and I will eat thy son's my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. Now, there was a reason that he wanted him to do this. And here's the reason. And he says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment. You see, there it is. She knew. She wasn't no dummy when she planned this out. She knew everything here that she had to do to set this up. And so he smelled the raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. So they deceived him. They deceived him by all this here that was happening and taking place. She taught him to lie. She taught him to deceive her. And you see later on there. And when we get into another one here, that you'll see the same thing here that happened and took place. But anyhow, she taught him this. And so what happens? Well, verse 28 here, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Now, I don't know what she thought, that he wasn't going to come or what, but here comes Esau now. I mean, there's favoritism here amongst both of these children, and that's the wrong thing to do in a family. You know, and you want chaos, you're going to have chaos. And you can see the chaos that's in this family because of it. The one teaches her son to be a deceiver and a liar. The other one here now is coming. He wants a blessing, and his father can't give him a blessing. You know, he gives him one, but it's nothing compared to what Jacob just had. Jacob just got everything. The firstborn was supposed to have a double portion of the inheritance and also to be ruler over the family and over everything until, you know, everything was settled and stuff. But that was the idea of it. And Jacob here got it all. He got the firstborn's blessing. He got the birthright. He got it all. But God said, you know, it was set up that God said that that's what was going to happen and take place. And I mean, this was part of God's plan. I don't know if this was part of God's plan with Rachel or with Rebecca, what she did, why she did it and stuff. I don't know. I just, you know, I can't see it. I can't see it because what she taught her children here and stuff, I mean, that's not God's way. That's not what's God's after here and stuff. So I'm not positive. But anyhow, this happened and took place. Well, Esau comes, and he comes in from the hunting. And in verse 31, it says, and he made a savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said, who art thou? Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Now, Isaac knows he did something wrong. Because he says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten all of it before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even so also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. Where else did we read that? Garden of Eden, that's right. Did Satan come? It says Satan came to Eve with all subtlety, you know, to deceive her. Now we see that the same thing is being said about Jacob. You know, that he came and he was a deceiver. But it says here then in verse 36, and he said, is it not rightly named Jacob? for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't take it away. He gave it up. He gave it up just for some food. He was hungry. The man was hungry. He thought he was going to die. He wasn't going to die. But he was. He said, what's that birthright to me if I die? You can have it. You know, he just gave it away. He didn't buy it or nothing. You know, you could buy the birthright. That was something that they had set up that you could do that. But he didn't buy it. He just gave it away. He just threw it at him. But now here he's saying that he took it away from me. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him the Lord and all his brethren. Have I given to him for thy servants? And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heavens from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of the mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now, this is something that must have carried on. This is where it started. And this is, must have carried on from generation to generation to generation. Because Esau, all his descendants, ended up in Edom. Okay? Now, if you remember that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, when they came to Edom, what did they have to do? That's right. They went around it. They wouldn't let them come through their land. And I think this is part of it. This is something that carried on from generation to generation to generation. And because of it, they had to go around. They couldn't go straight through to get to their land where they were supposed to be going. They had to go around, you know, and then they had to cross the Red Sea and all that stuff just to get there to where they were going. But this is what happened. And now he's saying in his heart that he's going to kill him. He's going to kill him because of it. Well, it says, now therefore, my son, let me get back here. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he will and forget that which he thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both of you in one day? Now what's she doing? She's doing something else here to him. Is she making him run away from his problems?
I never realized this. Rebecca took matters of the home in her own hands completely until right now.
Yep.
That's Jezebel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca and Jezebel, everybody has a good... But Rebecca wasn't...
Well, Jezebel's one of these women that we're going to look at, too.
Sure.
But you see this. You can see this. She's teaching him to run away from his problems. Do not let your kids run away from their problems. Nip it right away. You're better off. Last week, Corb was back here, and he was kind of nipping something with Micah. And I appreciated that. You know, and this here was it. I knew about this here a while ago because I studied it, but I knew what was just something that Micah must have did. I don't know. And he was just making them, you know, this was your problem, you know. And I appreciated that. I'm glad that he was doing that. But here she's telling him to run away from his problems. Now, I had an aunt and an uncle, and they wondered why their child turned out the way he was. When he was younger, he was in a store,
and he stole some stuff. And he came out of the store, and there in the car, his mom said, "Where'd you get that?" "Oh, I got it in the store here." She said, "You stole it, didn't you?" "Yeah." "Don't you ever do that again." Now, what did she teach him? Huh? There you go. That's right. It's okay if you don't get caught. She should have made him go back in. If that had been my kid, I'd have made him go back in, give it to them, and apologize. Yet besides, because they did it. Because there you're teaching them something. They're not running away from the problem. But they taught him. And then to this day, I know he has sticky fingers because of it. You're not teaching them nothing when you do something like that.
I remember the time my son had a party. He went out to kind of take the cake in the cave. And he came home with something, and I knew he didn't have money. And I asked him where he got. And he told me where he got. And I said, "Buddy, you're going right back. You're going to town. And if they pen you up for whatever they did,
right. You have to nip it right away. That's something you have to do. Right now, it's in my family, and it's all through Penns Valley here right now, and you better watch it with your kids especially. There's a lot of dope stuff going on right here now. There's a lot of cocaine stuff going on right here right now. And I have some in my family right now that one of the kids has stolen from his grandparents 3 times, and the grandparents know it. And one of the last times, he got a pretty good pile of money. And they won't turn him into the cops. I said, that kid better not. Well, I'm calming myself down here. Just wait a minute. Okay. I told him, that kid better not come around my house. Because if he does, I won't mess around. He needs to be turned into the cops. He needs to set it out in jail. He needs to think about it. You know, there's no excuse because his mother died many years ago. There's no excuse. That excuse is past. There's no reason. That's what the whole excuse is. That's what the grandmother, he stole from his other grandmother too. Money to buy dope. They broke into the cabin back there where we go, a lot of us. And it had to be him. I put 2 and 2 together. There was syringe papers found back here. I found some right there at the gate where you come through there, and I never gave it a thought until I had one of my other nephews came to me, or cousins came to me, and was telling me about this, and I said, okay, now that makes more sense than anything. Because my one cousin called me and told me about it, wanted to know if we were there or anything. I said, no. And she said somebody had broke into the cabin, but she said they didn't do much damage. They just was in there. It looked like they were in there maybe having a party or something. And I said, okay, I know what's going on here now. But see, what are they teaching that child to shoot up with cocaine and stuff and to even steal from the grandparents 3 times now? And the grandparents won't do nothing about it. Don't teach your children to run away from their problems. Nip it right away. And then you won't have them kind of situations. So be careful.
I know a lady, a friend of mine, and her grandson stole from her. I don't know that it was very much money or anything like that. And she did turn him in, and he was in jail. And after that, he came back and thanked her.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I have another cousin that one of his grandsons had stole from his mother, which would have been his grandmother, but he got caught. And buddy, he made him go back and give all that money and stuff back and apologize. And that was the best thing he could have did for him, because he would have continued to do it. And all he stole was change. But it was a pretty good amount of change, but it was some change, you know. So You got to teach them to face the problems and make their wrongs right. So you do. And this is something that she is not doing here with her son. She's not doing that. And so so what does she do? She convinces Isaac to send him away. It says in verse 46, "And Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me?" So she's talking about her daughter-in-laws that she has, that Esau had married. Remember, I read to you before there that Esau had married these two Hittite girls. And it says in verse 35 of 26, "which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah." She didn't like them. They were a grief to them. Well, as you go on here, if you read this here, and I'm not going to have time to do it, I wanted to, but you're going to see Isaac sends him away. It says here in 28, verse 1, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt go and take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. "Arise and go to Padam into the house of Bethel, thy mother's father's, and take thee of a wife thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude. And give thee a blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed, with the seed that thou mayest inherit the land where thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padam unto Laban, son of Bethuel, a Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother." So he went away. And then Esau here, if you just read here, just these last few verses here, which I don't have time to do it, but he sees that he sent away, and so out of just, being stubborn, if you want to call it, he takes a wife of Ishmael, and he takes another wife of Ishmael just to get to his mother and his father, because he knew they didn't like it. They didn't like it. So you can see here how that she had taken advantage of her husband. She took all these things, and she kind of tore him down because she took over everything. She took over the family. She took over these things. She lost Isaac's trust. She lost Esau's love. And she lost the comfort of her other son because she died before he ever came back home. So she lost all these things because of what she did. And that's what we're looking at. Seeing how that some of these women, that they helped to ruin their husbands because of that. Now, they just helped. They didn't do it all. We've seen that Adam and Eve, Adam took part of with what Eve did too also. So, it was because of that. But both of them ruined the human race, period. And then God had to supply something else for it, which he did, Jesus Christ, for all that. But we can see here what happened and took place. Questions or comments before I close? I don't know. From what I read and from some of the things that I read about it, it seemed like he did it for spite. But maybe I'm all wet on that. But that's what I take from it, is what I took.
Ishmael was kept out, but he was a relative.
Yeah, he was a relative.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong.
And you're seeing his relatives today. Ishmael's. Go ahead. Well, and she's doing it for Isaac there. She's using the guilt trip on him so that he'll send him away. And, that's something good that some women do to their husbands. They give them the guilt trip, If they're not giving in to them, then they'll give them the guilt trip. And then, the men will give in to them. So just be careful. Anything else? My wife gives me the guilt trip all the time, but I don't give in, so. No, I'm kidding. I was kidding about the rat poisoning, too, but she does substitute a lot of stuff, believe me. Okay, let's close here. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the different aspects here, Father, of these different women that we're looking at here in your word right now. And, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that we could learn from it. And just not only the women, Father, but the men also, Lord, of the different aspects here that you're showing and pointing out here to us. We ask for your guidance and direction in this. We thank you now once again for this beautiful day that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.